This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Emotional control tips for workplace conflicts where professionalism is non-negotiable. Stay composed under pressure and resolve conflict without losing your credibility. In short, emotional control in conflict is not about feeling nothing. It is about choosing your response instead of defaulting to your reaction. Without a working process, even capable professionals lose composure at the worst possible moment, and that loss costs more than their original conflict ever did. Your physical state must be managed before your words can land well. A pause is not weakness. It is the most skilled move available to you. Recovery after a slip matters more than never slipping at all. Definition: emotional control tips are practical techniques for managing your internal emotional state during conflict so that your behavior remains composed, clear, and professional. They help you interrupt automatic reactions, regulate physiological arousal, and respond with intention rather than impulse. I watched a senior manager end a 12-year career in about 4 minutes. She was skilled, respected, and under enormous pressure from a budget dispute that had dragged on for weeks. Her colleague said something dismissive in a team meeting, and she responded with a sharp, cutting remark that the RIM never forgot. The conflict itself was solvable. Her reaction to it was not. Emotional control in workplace conflict is not a soft skill. It is the difference between a difficult conversation that gets resolved and a moment that defines how people see you for years. What makes this so genuinely hard is that the threat feels real. Your status, your relationships, your professional identity all sit in the same room as the disagreement. Your nervous system cannot distinguish between a predator and a condescending colleague. It responds to both with the same urgency. You need a working process before you walk into that room, not a vague commitment to stay calm. Why most efforts to stay composed fall apart under pressure. Most people try to manage their emotions during conflict by telling themselves to calm down. That approach works about as well as telling a storm to stop. The instruction arrives too late, targets the wrong thing, and gives you nothing to actually do. The real problem is physiological. When a conversation triggers a threat response, your body is already reacting before your rational mind has formed a single coherent thought. Understanding what the amygdala hijack actually does to your thinking in high-pressure moments changes how you approach emotional preparation entirely. You are not fighting a bad habit. You are working against a biological system that evolved to protect you. The answer is not to suppress what you feel. Suppression builds pressure. The answer is a repeatable process that interrupts the reaction cycle at the right moment, with specific actions rather than vague intentions. What you must settle before the conflict begins. There is a precondition that most emotional control advice skips entirely. You need to know your triggers before they fire. A trigger is not simply when someone disagrees with me. It is specific. It might be a particular tone of dismissal. It might be being interrupted in front of others. It might be when someone questions your competence in a domain where you have worked hard for decades. Until you can name your triggers with that kind of specificity, you cannot prepare for them. Spend 5 minutes after your next difficult conversation noting the exact moment you felt your composure shift. Write it down. Over time, you will see a pattern. That pattern is your preparation material. Everything else in this process depends on knowing your own fault lines. A step-by-step process for emotional control in workplace conflict. These steps work in sequence. The early steps prepare the ground. The later steps are where the real skill lies. Give equal attention to each. Number 1. Ground your body before you speak. The moment you notice tension rising, press both feet flat on the floor and take one slow breath that extends the exhale. This is not meditation. It is a physiological interrupt that slows your heart rate just enough to restore a few seconds of rational access. You cannot think clearly when your body believes it is under attack. Number 2. Name your internal state privately. Before you respond, notice what you are actually feeling. Not upset, but specific: humiliated, dismissed, cornered, frightened. Naming an emotion precisely reduces its intensity. This is not something you say aloud. It is a quiet internal act that takes 3 seconds and returns significant control. Number 3. Buy yourself a pause without signaling retreat. Say something that creates space without conceding ground. Let me think about that for a moment before I respond, or I want to make sure I understand you correctly before I reply. These phrases read as thoughtful, not defensive. They give you 10 to 15 seconds, which is often enough to interrupt a reactive response entirely. Number 4. Separate the behavior from the person. While you pause, do this reframe. The person across from you is not your enemy. They're someone with a different interest, a different pressure, or a different interpretation of events. Emotional intelligence and feedback conversations works on exactly this principle. When you stop experiencing the other person as a threat, your tone shifts automatically without effort. Number 5. Choose your first sentence with precision. What you say first after a tense moment sets the temperature for everything that follows. Lead with the issue, not the person. The part I want to address is how the decision was communicated, not the decision itself. That sentence keeps you on ground you can defend and signals that you are here to resolve something, not to wound someone. Number 6. Monitor your nonverbal signals throughout. Your voice, your posture, and your eye contact carry more weight than your words in a charged moment. A clipped tone, crossed arms, or a prolonged stare will undo the most careful sentence. Stay loose in your shoulders. Keep your hands still and visible. Speak at about 2/3 of your natural pace. These are not performance choices. They are regulation tools. Number 7. Set a recovery marker if the conversation escalates beyond your capacity. There are moments when you have done everything right and the conversation still overwhelms your composure. Have a sentence ready. I want to continue this. I need 15 minutes to collect my thoughts first. Leaving for 15 minutes is not failure. Staying and saying something you cannot take back is. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid conflict. Workplace conflict increasingly happens on video calls, and emotional control is harder than in the room. You cannot ground your feet the same way. You cannot read the other person's full body language. And the digital format creates a latency that makes every silence feel hostile. On video, your face fills a screen. Every microexpression is magnified. This means your nonverbal control must be tighter, not looser. When you feel tension rising, drop your gaze slightly from the camera, take your slow breath off screen, and return. It takes 2 seconds and reads as thoughtfulness rather than distress. Use the mute button as a legitimate de-escalation tool. If you need to name your emotional state privately or ground yourself, muting for 15 seconds is invisible to the other person and gives you space to reset. Building psychological safety in remote teams depends partly on everyone having enough composure to stay in the conversation rather than shutting down or escalating. Your emotional control models that for the whole group. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong. 3 specific traps. After decades of watching people try and fail to hold their composure under pressure, I have seen the same mistakes appear again and again. Here they are, with the correction for each. The mistake: staying in a conversation that has already overwhelmed your capacity for regulation. Why it happens: leaving feels like weakness or defeat, so people push through when they should step back. What to do instead? Treat a strategic pause as a professional tool, not a concession. De-escalating conflict without destroying the relationship often requires someone to have the courage to stop the conversation at the right moment. The mistake: apologizing for the conflict itself. I am sorry this got heated. Why it happens: people confuse owning the conflict with managing their own emotional response. What to do instead? Apologize only for your contribution to the emotional temperature, if one is warranted. I could have said that more clearly is specific and honest. Broad apologies for the situation signal that you accept responsibility for things that were not yours. The mistake: trying to control the other person's emotional state while ignoring your own. Why it happens: it feels easier to manage someone else's reaction than to examine your internal state. What to do instead? Your only job in the moment is managing yourself. You cannot control how someone else responds, and attempting to do so will make the conflict worse. The role of emotional intelligence in team dynamics is built on exactly this distinction. Self-awareness precedes every other skill. Before you walk in, a composure preparation checklist. Use this before any conversation where emotional stakes are high. Number 1. Name your trigger. Write down the specific thing most likely to destabilize you in this particular conversation. Number 2. Prepare your pause phrase. Choose one sentence you will use to buy yourself space. Let me make sure I understand before I respond. Number 3. Set your physical anchor. Decide on your grounding action. Feet flat. Slow exhale. Hands open on the table. Number 4. Write your opening sentence. Draft the first sentence you will use to address the issue, naming behavior rather than character. Number 5. Prepare your exit line. Have one sentence ready if the conversation exceeds your capacity. I want to continue this. I need a short break first. Number 6. Plan your recovery. Decide what you will do in the 15 minutes after the conversation to process rather than carry the tension forward. Pair this preparation with the core framework for staying calm when defensive reactions arise, and you will have both sides of the composure question covered: what you do before and what you do during. When the conversation requires more than control. Sometimes emotional control is not enough on its own. Some workplace conflicts call for a deliberate, structured conversation where the stakes are high and the other person is unlikely to welcome what you have to say. In those cases, preparation moves beyond composure and into delivery. The courage method for feedback you have been avoiding gives you a structured approach for exactly those conversations. Emotional control and clear delivery are not the same skill, but they are inseparable in practice. You cannot deliver a difficult message well if your internal state is working against you, and even the most carefully prepared message will fail if you lose your composure halfway through. The measure of this skill is not perfection. You will slip. In 40 years of difficult conversations, I've said things I wished I had held back. The question is never whether you can achieve perfect composure. The question is whether you have a process that gives you the best possible chance, and whether you know how to recover when the process is not enough. Practice the steps and low-stakes conversations first. Use the checklist before you need it. When you do lose ground, review the moment without self-punishment: what fired, when, and what you would do differently. This is how emotional control tips become habits rather than intentions. Over time, the process becomes faster, the pause becomes reflexive, and the composure you earn in small moments is the composure that holds when the stakes are highest. Frequently asked questions. What are emotional control tips for workplace conflict? Emotional control tips for workplace conflicts include recognizing your physical triggers before they escalate, pausing deliberately before responding, naming your internal state privately, reframing the situation as a problem to solve, and recovering your tone before re-engaging. Each step builds composure under pressure. Why is emotional control so hard in professional settings? Emotional control is hard at work because the stakes feel personal. Your reputation, your relationships, and your livelihood sit in the same room as the conflict. That combination activates a threat response that bypasses rational thinking faster than most people expect. How do you stay calm during a heated workplace argument? Slow your breathing deliberately, ground your feet on the floor, and buy yourself a few seconds before speaking. These physical anchors interrupt the stress response before it takes hold. You cannot think clearly when your body is in full threat mode, so settle the body first. Can emotional control be learned, or is it a personality trait? Emotional control is a learnable skill, not a fixed trait. It requires deliberate practice over time, not natural temperament. People who appear unshakable in conflict have usually rehearsed the response process, built self-awareness through repeated failure, and developed personal recovery habits that work for them. What mistakes do people make when trying to control emotions in conflict? The most common mistake is suppression, pushing emotion down while staying in the conversation. This backfires because suppression builds pressure. Other mistakes include waiting too long to pause, apologizing for the conflict itself rather than your tone, and trying to control the other person instead of managing your own state. How does the amygdala hijack affect emotional control at work? When the amygdala detects a threat, it floods the body with stress hormones before the rational brain can respond. In workplace conflict, this means you react before you think. Understanding this biological response helps you build a pause before reaction into your emotional control process. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.